Glory to God.
There's one thing that I love to do, but I'm not good at.
Sing.
So I leave it to Rod and the rest to do for me. Let the great household of faith in
greetings.
The mighty name of Yeshua, Messiah, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
It is indeed a blessing. Happy occasion for me to be here.
Mighty Lord.
You know, for years they have been trying to get me to be in the States.
Imagine that.
For many years.
Yes, sir.
I got a visa probably about 26 or so years ago, and I used it twice. I didn't use it again, and I remember went to the embassy a couple of years ago, and I handed it in, and the lady says, "This visa is older than me." Well, they have given me one since, and it just so happened that in the last year, I've had to use it 3 times now. Not even in about 6-7 months, I have to use it about 3 times to be here. So to God be the glory, this time around, I had to be here.
Amen.
And so I'm greeting you from the island of Jamaica.
Greetings, greetings.
It's been a long time in coming. And it is indeed a pleasure to be here today.
Greetings, greetings, sir.
Before I bring the word, let's offer a word of prayer.
Yes.
Father, and we give you thanks for this occasion. And I pray that the unction to function you will give me right now. And that indeed you let whatsoever is to be said be directed from above.
Mighty
we
God.
Ask it all in the name of Yeshua the Messiah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I've been here since morning, and when I asked last night and I was told that I am going to speak, a lot of things
came to mind. Yes.
What can I tell the people of God about?
Amen.
And so I look at a number of things, and I woke up this morning and I purpose in my mind what has been inspired on me to bring to the people of God. But it has almost all been said already.
Tell me about it.
The teacher took a piece of it. My brother who is going to the Philippines has taken a piece of it.
So you gotta get the last piece.
So I'll just put the cherry on the top of it. But amen?
Amen.
I'm not a rapid fire preacher, but I carry a big heavy stick. So when it's you can't swing it very fast, but when it connects, it should be, because that's how the word of God is. Yes, it says it does a lot of things to you.
Yes.
It breaks. It heals.
Amen.
It cuts, it also heals again. And so it should be that when the word is spoken, you should have some reaction to it. Some of you might give me a hallelujah. Some of you might give me an amen. Don't be afraid to say ouch either. Because that's some of the things that happen to us when the word comes forth. You know, so I expect you all to react. Don't let me tell you to give me a hallelujah or amen. You just do that naturally when the word ministers to you. Right? And if it hurts, don't be afraid. Ouch is good enough. Because then we know that we have another one to help. Because here is somebody who needs a lot of propping up. Just this week I was looking at some WhatsApp messages, and one of them says, a little old man always pray, "Lord, prop me up on the leaning side." You know, and they're saying that there are some times that things get so rough that you're like, you'd want to pull out. But if you get propped up on that side,
yes,
then you'll be able to weather the storm a little bit more.
Amen.
So at all the walks in life, in this life anyway, We have not been promised a smooth sailing. And so if you're walking without any problem, check something.
Amen.
The devil is not on your tail.
Amen.
You need to check something.
Yes.
Yes, man. You need to be having a little bit of challenge.
Yes.
And if you're not passing those challenges, then it means that something is wrong also.
Amen.
Because you are called to be an overcomer.
Amen.
Regardless of what.
Amen.
So don't quit halfway.
Yes.
At no time should you consider quitting, because that's not supposed to be in your vocabulary as a child of God.
Amen.
You shouldn't be considering whether or not you should quit or pull out.
Amen.
You should be considering just overcoming the next one.
Amen.
Yes.
Obstacles in life.
Yes, son. See, can't find my notes. Don't worry. You see, that's what the Holy Spirit is here for.
Amen.
Amen.
He has to work. And I did ask him to work, so if the notes can be found, then he has to put it back in here.
Amen.
So that you can get it.
Amen.
You see, the scripture reading says, I beseech you therefore, brethren,
by
the mercies of God, that you present that body that you have walking up and down.
Oh yeah.
You must present it in a condition that is acceptable.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
So it doesn't matter what is happening around you, you have a duty. You must bring that body to the Almighty in a condition that He wants it in.
Amen.
And so you bringing it, you must know how, when you walk out of here with it, what condition you're going to bring it back in. If you go to rent a motor vehicle, they checked it off for you, right?
Amen.
Spare tire, jack, lug tool,
gas,
mirrors, whatever. Interior good, exterior good, all lights working, everything. Good to go.
Good to
you
go.
Sign. This is the condition I get it in, and you're good to go.
Right.
When you bring it back, they don't say park it around the side and go. They're going to check it.
Amen.
Oh, you left here with lights working. What happened?
Yep.
You left here with a lug tool. What happened? You left here with a spare. What happened?
Yep.
And if you do not bring it back in that condition, there are penalties.
Amen.
Amen.
There are penalties.
Yep.
Amen.
Because you would have signed before to say,
take responsibility.
And as a matter of fact, you have my card number and everything. So they won't even say, you're going to hand us anything.
Yep.
They'll just say, sign here, you sign, they take pay.
Yep.
Well, you have been given a body for use.
Yep. Not yours.
The scripture says we must know how to possess this. Because you cannot do any and everything with it and in it, and then expect to bring it in and say, here I am, Lord, take it and give me my reward. It's not going to be that way. It will never be that way. And you see, the thing is, when the talents were handed out, the man came in and he said, Lord, I've traded my five.
Yes. Five more.
Here's five more.
Yes.
He says, well done.
Amen.
Enter. Lord, here's my two.
Well done.
I've gotten two more.
Amen.
Well done.
Yes.
Enter in.
Lord, let me break out into some Jamaican parlance now. You want to see no? I only want you to give me. And it no mean not me want a little bit more. And he says, in all that happens, the least you could have done was lodge it in the bank, get a little bit of interest and bring it back. That's the least you could have done, you know. Walk with it down to the bank, said, keep this to me until my master return. They will give you an interest on it and bring it back to him with the interest. And he would have said, well done.
Right.
I said, Lord, I didn't like what you did to me. Oh, yeah. I wasn't satisfied with what you gave me.
That's right.
What's that you're satisfied with? How you look?
Jesus.
My God.
What you're not satisfied with? How much you got?
That's right.
How much you looking? They got two. Why give me one?
Better than none.
And the Lord said to him, I'm going to judge you from your own mouth.
Yes.
You know fully well.
Yes. Lord.
So you can say, Lord, I didn't know. You know fully well that I am returning. I am a hard taskmaster. I expected you to have done some work. I expected you to have done these. I expected you to do that. I expected you to refrain from doing those things. So how now you're telling me that you didn't know? Are you pretending as if you didn't know?
Imagine that.
So whatever happens, you must use what the Lord give you for his honor.
Amen.
For his glory.
Benefit.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen. So he makes you tall, dark, and handsome. He didn't make you that for a gigolo purpose. You ought to use that tall, dark, and handsomeness for his glory. He gave you a wonderful voice to sing. Then minister in singing to everybody.
Amen.
He gave you a wonderful job. He didn't expect you to go to the work and everybody there and you just sit there and nobody knows who you are. No, and you must advertise who you are.
Amen.
And I don't mean paste a sign over your desk that says child of God works here. Because that doesn't work. When you walk in and when you do things at work, everybody must look at you and say, of a truth.
Yes.
My
God.
Represent.
Everybody in the office must ask you, where you go to church? Because you do not behave like a Christian, you behave like a child of God.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
Amen. Wonderful.
Yes.
Glory to God.
I'm talking from experience.
Yes. Yes.
I remember I used to work with the newspaper. Now, I'm in the engineering room as the engineering supervisor. And I have a boss who, for some reason, just feel as if we shouldn't get along.
All right.
I mean, I'm doing my thing, he's doing his.
Yes.
And one day he decides to exalt himself. On the production floor, I was walking through and he stopped me. And he used some colorful language to describe me. And everybody was in shock. And at the end of his ranting and going on and all kind of language was used, I said, are you finished? Thank you very much. And I walked past him. There was a moment of silence. And then everybody started laughing. I just walked past him.
Amen.
Young man walk up to me and he says, boss, I know say you're a child of God.
Amen.
Because if it wasn't, if you may ever do that to me, they must be scraping up off of the floor. I didn't say a word. His intention was to disgrace me. But he's the one that was shamed. He's the one that had to hang his head down. And so when I walk through the floor the next day, everybody greets me. I say respect. You did the honorable thing.
Amen.
So as the scripture says, when somebody choose to despitefully the things to you, don't worry about it. Do the right thing. Because that's what is expected of us, you know.
Yes, man.
When you walk in as a child of God and they expect you to behave a certain way, and you behave any way out of sort, they know right away, and they're going to say, you are not a representative of who or what they say you are.
Amen. You know, waiting.
Man, that's true.
Yep. Waiting for that moment.
They see you out every Sabbath morning. Do something untowards Friday night.
Amen.
And they're going to tell you,
by the way,
that's not Sabbath-like.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
They're going to tell you, you need to be at home, at this hour.
Yep.
That's what they're expecting of you. And that's what makes the difference, you know.
Amen.
That's how it is seen. That's what makes it clear to everyone when you behave appropriately.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so Paul, in saying to us in Romans 12, when he says, present your body as a living sacrifice, you must do the things that are expected of you by the world.
Amen.
Because once you name the name of Christ, you know, they speak a certain standard.
Amen.
Amen.
God already set his standard and he said, come up to this.
Yeah.
The world is looking to see if you're measuring up. And any day you fail to measure up, then the world is going to say to you, you are not representing what you'll say you're representing. Now, verse 11, when you read in Romans 12, we just love to read verse 1 and 2, right?
Right.
So verse 1 and 2 sounds good.
Right.
Yeah, man, let us prove that which is that good and all of that. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And we leave it right there. Boom.
Amen.
Please read on.
Yes.
Because the rest of Romans 12 is describing for you what you ought to be.
Amen.
And you see, reading all my favorite verses, verse 11, you know. Yes, sir. See how church warm today? Even outside it's cold? And when the praise and worship was going on, deacon had to be around here saying, cut it, we need to get on. Because the worship was good, man.
Yes,
the spirit is moving. Yes, and everybody is in the spirit. And say, yeah. Okay. That is over. Let's go now. We have to go down to the ghetto. As I said this morning.
Hallelujah.
Because we need to go and minister to some souls down there.
Yes,
deacon, you want to see? I never planned for that.
Yes.
That wasn't on the agenda.
Yes.
How you...
Mm-hmm.
You see, saying the same fervency with which you were in here, jumping up and down and singing that he is your provider, he's doing this, he knows your needs and he knows all that for you. The same fervency now out the door because souls need to be saved.
Yes.
You can't be fervent in here and slothful out there.
Wonderful.
The same zeal which you have,
Jesus.
to worship in here. Must be the same zeal you have when we say, let's go and find some more souls. Because that's not an evangelist work only. Matthew 28:14 wasn't given to the evangelist only, or to the deacon only, or to the pastor only. It's to every single child of God. I mean, we'll all take what Luke says.
Yes.
That, I mean, when you repent and baptize and believe, these things shall follow you. Yes, Lord, put them on me. That's what I want. I want to make sure that everybody see that I'm living holy. So don't you care that somebody else would want to enjoy those privileges and benefits?
Spread the word.
Amen. Tell them of the goodness of salvation. Tell them what they can get in here. Yes. And so when we come today, we just come to make sure that you're okay and to prop you up some more so that you can go out there to bring some more in. And so every day that you're on the road, you should be an evangelist.
Amen.
Don't let it be what? 2%? That's what he said this morning. In the Sabbath school. I tell you, he preached a part of the message. Detail, about 2% of the time we want to be out there showing anybody that we have anything to do with Christ. We ought to give as much physically as we give spiritually and get in return. Because he will provide strength for the labor. That's what he says, you know. He will provide strength for the labor. Set your mind to it and he will give you all the resources that you need. Just set your mind to it and all the resources you need, you will get. As I tell you, I love to sing, but since I can't sing, I read my songbook. You never hear that one before. Now, man, you ought to read a songbook sometime, man. Read a songbook. Take it from me. Read your songbook.
Yes,
man. Don't just read Psalms and Proverbs. Read your songbook. And you will see what is in there for you. That's how I learned. That's how I got a lot of inspiration, you know. Because I said, since I can't belt it out at certain notes and all, and I can help myself.
You can put it in.
But I read it.
Yes.
Amen.
My Lord.
You want your faith to increase?
Yes.
Then you have to read.
Amen. Jesus. The evidence.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Amen.
But how do you get that substance within you and the evidence of that? It says faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And hearing what? The word of God.
Amen, amen.
So if you don't, and let me tell you something. It doesn't matter how much I talk to you. It doesn't matter how much I read the word to you. Until you are reading the word for yourself and internalizing it, it's not having an effect.
Yes, yes. Amen.
It's when you put it in and I reinforce it that it has an effect.
Yes. Amen.
That's how it works, you know. Somebody has to be reinforcing what is in there for it to have an effect.
Yes.
He says what? Paul says what? Some plant.
Yes.
Some water.
Some water.
Yes.
So if you're not planting and I'm not watering, what is there for the Lord to increase?
Yes.
Nothing.
Imagine that.
Yes, so I read my songbook. 254 in your songbook. The verse says, some goes to battle, I think verse 3 says, some goes to battle like warriors of steel.
Amen.
But when things get rough, them left off believing
and faint
and giving, run away from the work. Lord, I believe. When they're singing and you read the verse, they say, Lord, I believe, Lord, I believe. Savior, raise my faith in thee till I can move a mountain. And he said, come, let's lift up the mountain. He said, no, 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 I never mean it that way. I was just singing.
Amen.
I was just singing.
Yeah, yeah.
He sing, I was singing, I never mean it.
Say what you mean.
Now, man, they present pickaxe and shovel and say, let's dig down the mountain. We'll move the mountain that way. Since my feet can't tell the mountain to move, I'll dig it down. Yeah. No, 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 no. I don't want the hard work. I was just singing.
Yes, yes.
That's how it is with a lot of us sometimes.
Right.
Things get rough and we want just like you. And that's the story. They say, I was playing.
Yeah.
No, 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 no. You must mean it. Mean the business, and whatever it takes, you're gonna get it done. In the type of work I do, there are some times when you look at something and you say, this will take me 5 minutes. But believe you me, 5 minutes won't help you. 5 hours won't help you.
Amen.
5 days more like it.
Amen.
And if you give up at day four, you're starting at day one again.
Yeah.
That's how it is with the Lord, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's taking you through a situation. And I always use an illustration. I say, every time you're going through something rough, the devil is walking behind you.
Yeah.
You know what he has? A chair.
Oh,
yeah, man. Anytime you stop and to consider himself, have a seat.
Thank you.
Take a rest.
And if you take a rest, him say, but no worry. He open the door and say, take an exit. Now, if the Lord is taking you something to teach you, something to get you to somewhere, and you take an exit, what do you think he's going to do with you? He's bringing you back around to the start, and he says, start again. Now, if you have gone 3/4 of the way through the situation, and you have to start again, a lot of us is going to say, boy, this doesn't make sense. And that's where a lot of us terribly fail and give in. So whatever he's taking you through, remember his words. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will bring you through anything it is. He says, I will make a way of escape for you. So don't accept the easy way out that the devil is offering you. If he's going to make a way of escape for you, let him bring you out.
Amen.
The story is that when you look back and you see one set of footprint, don't start to grumble that the Lord leave you, because that's not your footprint. Yes, man. When you see two, you know he's walking beside him. When you see one, say, thank you, Lord, for carrying me. Not for leaving me, because he will never leave you or forsake you. At no point is he going to leave you. So in your walk, in presenting that body that you have to him as a living sacrifice, present it. Let it be that when you bring it back, he'll look at it and he says, well done. How easy when sailing in the sea and the sea in a calm, that we say, God, could you see? Oh Lord, everything going fine and all of that. Moment you went by a little rough sea, you forget that God good. Yeah, man, God was good. Eh? And you start to trust in the strength of Jehovah's great arm. But somehow I find, when things get rough, that just a little believe in.
Yes.
Just a little believe in your one, you know. And the sea just calm himself again. That's why the scripture says, resist the devil and he will flee.
Amen, amen.
Because when you realize that you aren't going to quit, he will say, okay, allow him to pass.
Glory.
Yes. When you realize that you ain't going to quit, he will just say, okay, pass. I'm going to set another trap. You can pass this time. And so each time you pass a test, you get stronger.
Yep. Praise God.
Faith in Christ.
Yes, sir. You ask anybody who exercises or does lifting of weights.
Yeah.
When you begin with this, you might can do 10.
Yeah, 20. Easy.
20. Mm-hmm. Put a second one.
Get heavier.
Down to 5. Put a third one.
2.
Good. But I can tell you, if you can only go 5 and you rest, and go 5 again.
Oh my God.
You realize that the next time around you reach 6.
Glory.
And so, with the heavy weight, as things increase, as the weight increase, you just keep going. Because repetition is what it takes. A lot of it, a lot of repetition. And you will realize that you're getting better and better and better. Until it doesn't matter how much weight. You're up to the task, man.
Yeah.
Because your muscles have been exercised. Your things have been well tried.
Amen.
You have been proven.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
And you can overcome.
Amen. Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah.
Then let us remember that in running this race, faith is not feeling. You see, it doesn't depend on this morning I'm not feeling too well. I don't feel like being righteous today. No. It has nothing to do with that. I'm aching today, so I don't feel like I can cuss if I'm feeling pain. No.
Not at all.
Somebody step on your foot. No, it's not a day for fighting.
Jesus.
You know, even though you wasn't feeling too good and your face was a bit long and somebody walked past, you're the one who's supposed to smile and say, God is good.
Yes.
Amen.
That's what is expected of you.
Yes.
And so they don't realize how much you're suffering. But they're seeing Jesus on the outside.
Amen.
And that's why when we get up and we start singing, oh, what a change. And you're going to jump up and down. Make sure there's a change in us. Because when he's on the outside and he's been seen, when he's on the inside and he's been seen on the outside, that's where the change is.
Amen.
Yes, man.
Amen.
Thank you,
God. You see, being in the world, I don't know why I was in the world, but I know I was in the world and I was doing very well in the world. Had a good reputation among not reputable people, but at the time you forget it was a good reputation, a good among good reputable people.
Yeah
man. And I was enjoying life.
Right.
And you realize that there's something more to it. God allow you to turn, so turn around and get back and
find a way
back into it.
Yes.
And those who you had a good reputation against said, okay, I hear you, but I'll see you in 2 weeks time.
Yeah.
I was expecting 2 weeks, it didn't come. If you're a bit delayed, I'll still see you in 2 months. Let them wait. Yeah, man, I'll see you in 2 years,
yeah,
if needs be.
5 years.
How about 5 years? Yeah, man.
Yeah.
How about 10 years?
Yep.
How about 15 years?
Yep.
How about 20 years?
Yep.
How many of them out there waiting to see the return? And they, after a while, they have to say, chump, sorry, me know, say, now me know for sure that you ain't coming back.
Glory,
yeah.
Praise him.
Yes, sir.
Oh, glory.
My
That's the testimony you want about you now, you know. It's not that nothing happened. It's not that you have been walking righteous from day one. But I mean, all the fall, get up. And you have never got up and think of turning to the left or to the right. Each time you fall, you get up and you say, Lord, here I am, help me in going forward.
Keep moving.
Because I want to hear, well done.
Thou good and faithful servant. Amen.
Now to the last part that my brother from the Philippines took. Paul, just before he wrote the famous thing to Timothy to say, I fought a good fight. Paul was speaking to the Corinthians.
Yes.
And he says, I become all things to all men so that I can win them.
Yes.
But in getting to this point, I had to go through a lot of things.
Amen.
I had to go through a lot of things. And so in 2 Corinthians, he was rehearsing the things that he had gone through. 11, I think, 23 there, or 20, 32 or somewhere there, he says, three times.
Yes.
I was beaten with rods. 40
stripes.
You know what he got? 39 stripes.
Yep.
And the only reason why he didn't get the 40 is that it was considered a sin or a wickedness to give him the last one.
Yep.
So the spear won.
Yep.
My Lord.
Three times he suffered that fate.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because he's determined that whatever it takes to win souls for Christ, he's going to do it. He says, I don't know what is going to ahead of me. All I know is that I'm going up to Jerusalem. I mean, they have prophesied and they have told me, and I know whatsoever they say is going to come true. But I ain't going to quit here. I mean, when Paul looked back at all the work he had done, and he says, I'm going up to Jerusalem. I don't know if I'm coming back. But I know one thing, is that Agabus had come and said that the man that this mantle belonged to is going to Jerusalem and he will be born. And he lists a lot of things. He said, in shipwreck, in peril of my own brethren.
Yes.
God, that's the thing that hurts, you know.
Amen.
You see, when you're in here trying your best, and somebody who should know better speak something against you, that hurts, you know. Yeah. The man who I don't know can't hurt me with words, because he doesn't know anything about me. So whatsoever he says, I can listen and just walk past. But when you who should know better discredit me, it hurts. Yeah. I walk up to the airline counter on Thursday and I hand in my things, and the young man said to me, did you reserve a seat? I said, yes. He said, I don't see a reservation of seats for you. So I said, okay, I asked for a window seat anyway. And he says, why did you lie to me? So I let him do what he was doing, and he finished. Took up my ID and I showed him, and I said, I would allow you to say anything else and go, and I'll just pass. But I want to tell you that I didn't lie
to you
because of this.
Amen.
Praise
him. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
My God, who you are, sir.
Amen.
Yeah.
Because of this, I'm telling you,
Jesus.
I did not lie.
Amen.
I made the request for window seats.
Yes.
And he's saying, sorry. I said, no, you don't have to apologize. I'm just telling you.
Why not?
Glory.
My God.
I just want you to know that I didn't do it, or I didn't just say so to get ahead or any such thing.
Amen.
And so he was willing to probably, and I said, no man, whatever seat you have chosen for me, that's fine.
Yeah.
You don't have to change anything. I take anything that is there.
Amen.
I got a middle seat. I mean, I wanted a window seat, but Fine back. You see, when your legs are as tall as mine, and you sit in the aisles or at the middle, then and somebody need to get out, you have to get up every time. So I usually choose a window seat. Okay, usually once I sat down, I'm not getting up. So whatsoever we do, we need to remember who we are. And even in this situation, we need to use them as ministry.
Amen.
Yes, sir. We need to use every situation we are in as ministry. So that others can see and know. I'm quite sure the next time he sees me, he'll never say any such thing about it. So Paul says that, having gone through all of that, in Acts 20, he, same scenario he was in, he was rehearsing, and he says, you know what? Of all the things that I've gone through, none of them move me.
Imagine that.
Acts 20, verse 24.
Yes.
He says, of all the things I've gone through, none of them face me. Of all the things I know that I will go through, none of them is going to face me or move me. Why? Because I know that laid up for me is a crown. Laid up for me is a crown. If the weather says tomorrow it will be snowing all day, and a funeral is announced for tomorrow afternoon at 5, how many of us is going to say, boy, you know, I don't think I'm going to make that. I'll send a card. I'll call and give my condolences.
Yes, yes.
Well, there's a story that this man died and the funeral was set at a weird time. It was set at a weird time, midnight. Yeah, funeral set at midnight. We're not going to do any burial, we're going to have the funeral. Midnight.
Right.
And a couple of people think about it and they say, well, I don't think I'll make that one.
Too late,
it's too inconvenient, and we're going to have to travel too far,
right.
You know. Yeah. All of that afterwards, I'm not sure I'll get transport home and... Everything went on as always. But those who turned up only to realize that there is not really a funeral. We're about to present the will. And all those who are on this will and is not present will not get there.
That's right.
Imagine that.
Now, if the announcement was that the will be read at midnight, and all those who are present would know what they get,
yes. Then
nobody would be absent.
Okay. Yep.
Tell you what, we already know what is in the will for us now.
Yes.
Now, if you know what is in that will for you,
my God,
you're going to make a little inconvenience, rob you of it.
Oh yes.
This will is already read. Everybody know what is in there for them.
Yes.
Everybody know what they should do
to
get what is in the will.
Yes.
Because somebody died, you know. Yes, son. Christ died.
Of course.
Yes, yes.
And the moment he died, the will become effective.
Yes, sir.
So what is in that will for you is yours.
Yes.
But there's a little bit of condition.
Yes.
Ensure that when that will is read, your name
is called.
Wonderful. Ensure that when your that will is read, the body that you present to the Lord was acceptable to receive what is in that will for you. As Paul says, none of the things I go through is going to prevent me from getting that which. Now, since I know what is in there, I am going to claim my prize. Will you? May God bless you.
Wonderful.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Praise Him.
Hallelujah.
Praise Him.
Hallelujah.
Praise Him.
Hallelujah.
Claim the will.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. There was one who was willing to die in my stead.
Amen.
And a soul so unworthy
might die.